As you say, we've no truth-sayer. Is there a traitor among us? She asked. I've studied our people with great care. Who could it be? Not Gurney. Certainly not Duncan. Their lieutenants are not strategically enough placed to consider. It's not you, Thufir. It cannot be Paul. I know it's not me. Dr. Yui, then? Shall I call him in and put him to the test?
You know that's an empty gesture, Howard said. He's conditioned by the High College. That I know for certain.
Not to mention that his wife was a Bene Gesserit slain by the Harkonnens, Jessica said.
So that's what happened to her, Howard said.
Haven't you heard the hate in his voice when he speaks the Harkonnen name?
You know I don't have the ear, Howard said.
What brought this base suspicion on me? She asked. Howard frowned.
My lady puts her servant in an impossible position. My first loyalty is to the Duke.
I'm prepared to forgive much because of that loyalty, she said.
And again I must ask, is there something to forgive?
Stalemate? She asked. He shrugged. Let us discuss something else for a minute, then, she said. Duncan Idaho, the admirable fighting man whose abilities at guarding and surveillance are so esteemed. Tonight, he overindulged in something called spice beer. I hear reports that others among our people have been stupefied by this concoction. Is that true?
You have your reports, my lady.
So I do. Don't you see this drinking as a symptom, Thufir?
My lady speaks riddles. Apply your mentat abilities to it, she snapped.
What's the problem with Duncan and the others? I can tell you in four words. They have no home. He jabbed a finger at the floor.
Arrakis, that's their home.
Arrakis is an unknown. Caladan was their home, but we've uprooted them. They have no home, and they fear the Duke's failing them. He stiffened.
Such talk from one of the men would be cause for— Oh, stop that, Thufir.
Is it defeatist or treacherous for a doctor to diagnose a disease correctly? My only intention is to cure the disease.
The Duke gives me charge over such matters.
But you understand I have a certain natural concern over the progress of this disease, she said. And perhaps you'll grant I have certain abilities along these lines. Will I have to shock him severely? She wondered. He needs shaking up, something to break him from routine.
There could be many interpretations for your concern, Howard said.
He shrugged. Then you've already convicted me?
Of course not, my lady. But I cannot afford to take any chances, the situation being what it is.
A threat to my son got past you right here in this house, she said. Who took that chance? His face darkened.
I offered my resignation to the Duke.
Did you offer your resignation to me, or to Paul? Now he was openly angry, betraying it in quickness of breathing, in dilation of nostrils, a steady stare. She saw a pulse beating at his temple.
I'm the Duke's man, he said, biting off the words.
There is no traitor, she said. The threat's something else. Perhaps it has to do with the laser guns. Perhaps they'll risk secreting a few laser guns with timing mechanisms aimed at house shields.
Perhaps they'll— And who could tell after the blast if the explosion wasn't atomic? He asked. No, my lady. They'll not risk anything that illegal. Radiation lingers. The evidence is hard to erase. No. They'll observe most of the forms. It has to be a traitor.
You're the Duke's man, she sneered. Would you destroy him in the effort to save him? He took a deep breath, then—
If you're innocent, you'll have my most abject apologies.
Look at you now, Thufir, she said. Humans live best when each has his own place, when each knows where he belongs in the scheme of things. Destroy the place, and destroy the person. You and I, Thufir, of all those who love the Duke, are most ideally situated to destroy the other's place. Could I not whisper suspicions about you into the Duke's ear at night? When would he be most susceptible to such whispering, Thufir? Must I draw it for you more clearly?
You threaten me, he growled.
Indeed not. I merely point out to you that someone is attacking us through the basic arrangement of our lives. It's clever, diabolical. I propose to negate this attack by so ordering our lives that there will be no chinks for such barbs to enter.
You accuse me of whispering baseless suspicions? baseless, yes. You'd meet this with your own whispers? Your life is compounded of whispers, not mine, Thufir. Then you question my abilities? She sighed.
Thufir, I want you to examine your own emotional involvement in this. The natural human's an animal without logic. Your projections of logic onto all affairs is unnatural, but suffer to continue for its usefulness. You're the embodiment of logic, a mentat. Yet your problem solutions are concepts that, in a very real sense, are projected outside yourself, there to be studied and rolled around, examined from all sides.
You think now to teach me my trade?
He asked, and he did not try to hide the disdain in his voice.
Anything outside yourself, this you can see and apply your logic to it, she said. But it's a human trait that when we encounter personal problems, those things most deeply personal are the most difficult to bring out for our logic to scan. We tend to flounder around, blaming everything but the actual deep-seated thing that's really chewing on us.
You're deliberately attempting to undermine my faith in my abilities as a mentat, he rasped.
Were I to find one of our people attempting thus to sabotage any other weapon in our arsenal, I should not hesitate to denounce and destroy him.
The finest mentats have a healthy respect for the error factor in their computations, she said.
I've never said otherwise.
Then apply yourself to these symptoms we've both seen. Drunkenness among the men, quarrels. They gossip and exchange wild rumors about Arrakis. They ignore the most simple
idleness no more, he said. Don't try to divert my attention by trying to make a simple matter appear mysterious.
She stared at him, thinking of the Duke's men rubbing their woes together in the barracks until you could almost smell the charge there, like burnt insulation.
They're becoming like the men of the pre-guild legend, she thought. Like the men of the Lost Star Searcher and Polaros, sick at their guns, forever seeking, forever prepared, and forever unready.
Why have you never made full use of my abilities in your service to the Duke? She asked. Do you fear a rival for your position? He glared at her, the old eyes blazing.
I know some of the training they give you, Bene Gesserit.
He broke off, scowling.
Go ahead, say it, she said. Bene Gesserit witches. I know something of the real training they give you, he said. I've seen it come out in Paul. I'm not fooled by what your schools tell the public. You exist only to serve.
The shock must be severe, and he's almost ready for it, she thought.
You listen respectfully to me in council, she said, yet you seldom heed my advice. Why? I don't trust your Bene Gesserit motives, he said. You may think you can look through a man. You may think you can make a man do exactly what you...
You poor fool, Thufir, she raged. He scowled, pushing himself back in the chair.
Whatever rumors you've heard about our schools, she said, the truth is far greater. If I wished to destroy the Duke, or you, or any other person within my reach, you could not stop me.
And she thought, why do I let pride drive such words out of me? This is not the way I was trained. This is not how I must shock him. Howitt slipped a hand beneath his tunic, where he kept a tiny projector of poison darts.
She wears no shield, he thought. Is this just a brag she makes? I could slay her now, but, the consequences if I'm wrong.
Jessica saw the gesture toward his pocket, said,
Let us pray violence shall never be necessary between us. A worthy prayer, he agreed.
Meanwhile, the sickness spreads among us, she said. I must ask you again. Isn't it more reasonable to suppose the Harkonnens have planted the suspicion to pit the two of us against each other?
We've appeared to have returned to stalemate, he said.
She sighed, thinking,
He's almost ready for it. The Duke and I are father and mother surrogates to our people, she said. The position...
He hasn't married you, Howitt said. She forced herself to calmness, thinking,
A good riposte, that. But he'll not marry anyone else, she said. Not as long as I live. And we are surrogates, as I've said. To break up this natural order in our affairs, to disturb, disrupt, and confuse us. Which target offers itself most enticingly to the Harkonnens?
He sensed the direction she was taking, and his brows drew down in a lowering scowl.
The Duke? She asked. Attractive target, yes. But no one with the possible exception of Paul is better guarded.
Me?
I tempt them, surely. but they must know the Bene Gesserit make difficult targets. And there's a better target, one whose duties create, necessarily, a monstrous blind spot, one to whom suspicion is as natural as breathing, one who builds his entire life on innuendo and mystery. She darted her right hand toward him.
You!
Howitt started to leap from his chair.
I have not dismissed you, Thufir!
She flared. The old Mentat almost fell back into the chair, so quickly did his muscles betray him. She smiled without mirth.
Now you know something of the real training they give us, she said.
Howitt tried to swallow in a dry throat. Her command had been regal, peremptory, uttered in a tone and manner he had found completely irresistible. His body had obeyed her before he could think about it. Nothing could have prevented his response. Not logic, not passionate anger, nothing. To do what she had done spoke of a sensitive, intimate knowledge of the person thus commanded, a depth of control he had not dreamed possible.
I have said to you before that we should understand each other, she said. I meant you should understand me. I already understand you, and I tell you now that your loyalty to the Duke is all that guarantees your safety with me.
He stared at her, wet his lips with his tongue.
If I desired a puppet, the Duke would marry me, she said. He might even think he did it of his own free will.
Howitt lowered his head, looked upward through his sparse lashes. Only the most rigid control kept him from calling the guard. Control, and the suspicion now that woman might not permit it. His skin crawled with the memory of how she had controlled him. In the moment of hesitation, she could have drawn a weapon and killed him.
Does every human have this blind spot? He wondered. Can any of us be ordered into action before he can resist?
The idea staggered him.
Who could stop a person with such power? You've glimpsed the fist within the Bene Gesserit glove, she said. Few glimpse it and live. And what I did was a relatively simple thing for us. You've not seen my entire arsenal. Think on that.
Why aren't you out destroying the Duke's enemies? He asked.
What would you have me destroy? She asked. Would you have me make a weakling of our Duke? Have him forever leaning on me?
But with such power...
Power's a two-edged sword, Thufir, she said. You think, how easy for her to shape a human tool to thrust into an enemy's vitals. True, Thufir, even into your vitals. Yet what would I accomplish? If enough of us Bene Gesserit did this, wouldn't it make all Bene Gesserit suspect? We don't want that, Thufir. We do not wish to destroy ourselves.
She nodded.
We truly exist only to serve.
I cannot answer you, he said. You know I cannot answer.
You'll say nothing about what has happened here to anyone, she said. I know you, Thufir.
My lady...
Again the old man tried to swallow in a dry throat, and he thought,
"She has great powers, yes, but would these not make her an even more formidable tool for the Harkonnens?"
"The Duke could be destroyed as quickly by his friends as by his enemies," she said. "I trust now you'll get to the bottom of the suspicion and remove it."
"If it proves baseless," he said.
"If,"
she sneered.
"If,"
he said.
"You are tenacious," she said.
"Cautious,"
he said,
"and aware of the error factor."
"Then I'll pose another question for you. What does it mean to you that you stand before another human, that you are bound and helpless, and the other human holds a knife at your throat? Yet this other human refrains from killing you, frees you from your bonds, and gives you the knife to use as you will."
She lifted herself out of the chair, turned her back on him.
"You may go now, Thufir."
The old Mentat arose, hesitated, hand creeping toward the deadly weapon beneath his tunic.